16. Psalms chapter 16, we'll read verses 7 all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 11. Psalm chapter number 16, we'll read verses number 7 through verse number 11 responsively this morning. I'll read verse number 7. You'll join me on verse number 8 all the way through verse number 11. Psalm chapter 16, the Bible says in verse number 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of thy life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the promises that you've given us in your word. Lord, this morning we come before you again, a needy people. Lord, it's been a tough week for many folks. Lord, they face many difficulties. They've heard some bad news. And this morning, Lord, we need to hear directly from you. Lord, please use the man of God, Lord, as he presents the message for the hour. Lord, may we be attentive. Lord, may our hearts be tender. Lord, to the truth that you've prepared for us, please speak directly to our hearts. We'll be careful to give you the glory and honor for all that takes place here this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Let me help you today. Today, I really do want to preach to one of those sermons. It's similar to last Sunday morning's sermon, but this may be where you're at, but if not, put it in storage. You'll be there soon. This is not one of those sermons that will go forgotten, because you'll need it one of these days. So if you'll listen, I believe when these days hit you, you'll be able to get through them a little better. Everyone will face night seasons in life. Psalm 16:7 says, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I'm not talking about a dark night or two. I'm not talking about a bad day or two. You see, God uses the term dark seasons. A season is months long. Matter of fact, according to our weather and things, a season is 3 months long. You're talking about not a dark day or two, not a week or so. You're talking about month after month after month of a dark time. You see, but it also says dark seasons. It means you're going to have more than one of these in your life. To you young people, you teenagers, you young adults, I wish your preacher could stand here and tell you, Elizabeth, you're never going to have a bad time in life. But I know who your daddy is. Don't worry. It's already been there. No. I wish I could tell you that it's all going to be peaches and cream and puppy dogs and pussy willows. Well, it's going to be big bad dogs, but usually it's a junkyard dog. And it's going to bite you. You're not going to enjoy it. Life is made up of dark seasons. These dark times are not necessarily you going into sin and doing something sinful. These dark seasons are when evil is attacking you. It's when things are coming your way that you have no control over. That's what these dark seasons are all about. Maybe it's the death of someone or the long-term illness of someone. Maybe it is someone attacking you incessantly, repeatedly, over and over. Maybe it's the heartbreak of an adult child breaking your heart. Whatever it may be, this dark season is just hanging around and nagging after you. I must use something personal because it's... I know it better than most, and I'd rather reveal things in my past than somebody else's in this room. Years ago, I was an administrator of a Christian school. I've done that in three different places. And as one of my duties as administrator, you always have the joy of discipline. You're in charge of who gets demerits and who gets paddled and all that kind of good stuff. And well, you paddled for a while in my early ministry, I did. But it got to the point where things have changed so much in America. We still paddled kids, but I'd call one of the parents in and they'd paddle them in my office at school because that way I made sure it got done. Amen. And it was just structured well. Amen. But I was in my office and had to take care of a little one who had done something, and that child needed paddled, and the parents came to my office and we talked about it and we signed all the forms and did all the things that I had in place, and the parents spanked the child in my office. Well, about 2 weeks later, I got a visit and a phone call that CPS was investigating me and that family. Oh my. At first I burst it off a little bit. Didn't bother me. But when CPS came and talked to me, they were not only investigating me for child abuse, but because of my position, I'm a mandatory reporter, and because I didn't report it, I was guilty of a felony and I'm facing jail time. It got a little more serious. Can you say hitting a night season? I didn't paddle the child. But because reported abuse had taken place, I was a mandatory reporter. And because I didn't report it, well, I didn't see it as abuse. Of course, lawyers had to be involved. Hours and hours and hours of review, paperwork. Fortunately, I'm fairly organized. And that's kind of a joke because I am pretty organized, believe it or not. We had all the necessary documentation. We had everything laid out. We had our handbook with procedures in it. We had all of the proper paperwork that matched the procedures. And finally, the big day came with interviews with the child, with CPS, and the child with witnesses, and me with CPS, and all of our paperwork presented with my lawyer sitting there. And I mean, this was about a 2-day-long procedure. Man, you have to realize something. If I went to jail over that, my ministry's over. My whole ministry was at stake. Well, we got done. The ruling was made, and the ruling made was this: not guilty on all parts. The man from CPS came back to my office without lawyers, and he said, just so you know, he said, this case has been taken to the state Supreme Court for school systems in the state of West Virginia, and the state Supreme Court said if they'll do it the way that little school in where that fellow was for this, he said, corporal punishment is still allowed in the state of West Virginia because of that. I didn't know it was going to be a case study for the Supreme Court in the state of West Virginia. But we won it and kept corporal punishment open in the state of West Virginia for a while. You say, why? Because that's God's way. But I can't tell you that I wasn't a little scared. I can't tell you that it wasn't a dark season. I could not prevent it. I couldn't stop it. I did not seek it. It was thrust upon me. I couldn't do anything to stop the darkness. By the way, I had to keep going. I had a school of 175 students to take care of. I had a college that we were getting ready to get started. I had church duties out like you wouldn't believe. I averaged 80, 90 hours a week every week, and a lot of times 100 plus hours a week. I understand the dark seasons. It felt like it was midnight, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week during all that mess. But I had to keep going. Say, preacher, how did you get through? Look at Psalm 16, verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Watch this. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Psalm 16 is exactly what God wants us to do. When there's no way to prevent the dark season, God tells us how we can get through the night season. And I want to show you today exactly what that is. Point number one, have good counsel. Have good counsel. You need to seek advice from somebody other than yourself. Can I tell you something? When you are in the dark, you are not the one to advise yourself. When you are oppressed and when you're attacked, your ability to reason is not as good as you think you are. Everybody doing okay? Now, you may be a wise person, or a wise crack. You may be wise in many ways, but when you're under duress and you're under attack and when you're in the night season and you can't see where to put the next step, don't advise yourself. Don't fall off the cliff. You're going down a trail you have never been before. You better not be your own advisor at that moment. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I think God gives you a man of God for a reason. Don't be afraid to use him. I'm here to help you in the night seasons. I'm here to help you when you can't see. I'm here to lift you and encourage you and grab hold and say, don't go there. Come this way. You're about to fall off a cliff. don't step there. It's about to give out from underneath you. There's nothing worse than walking in the dark, not able to see anything. And God says when you're in those night seasons, look what he said. He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Given me counsel. I have watched Christian people go off the cliff because they said, I know what to do. I've watched good Christian people ruin their families. I've watched good Christian people ruin their children because they took their own advice rather than the man of God's advice. Stay in the Bible and seek advice. Don't go. I love you. I'm not gonna. I don't know anybody in here necessarily that does this, but I've been around people for a long time, Brother Mike. Don't be one of those people that goes to person to person to person to person to person to person to find out somebody who agrees with you and then say, I sought advice. I'll go talk to Brother Josh, but I didn't like what he said, so I'll go talk to the preacher. I didn't like what he said, and I'll go talk to Miss So-and-so, and I didn't like what she said. And I'll go talk to Brother Scott, definitely didn't like what he said. And went to talk to this person. Ah, finally, somebody that agrees with me. I sought counsel. May I say this with all the love that I can muster, you're an idiot. Seeking counsel is not going to find somebody that agrees with you. It's finding somebody that's not in the darkness who can see what you cannot see. Right. Young people, listen to me. I used to hate when Brother Hyle said this, but I'm going to say it. I got more sense in that little finger than you got in your whole head. Not because I'm smarter, but I've experienced more life than you have. I've helped people make more life-changing decisions than you've had life. I happen to know a bit more about life than you think. Some of you new Christians, you think you know everything since John the Baptist. Can I tell you something? There's people in here, you've been saved almost as long as I have, but you don't know that book as well as I do because some of you don't. You weren't taught good doctrine from get-go. In other words, you need to find somebody and stick to their advice and lose your own opinion about whether you like their advice or not. I don't always like what's right. Do you? I don't always like the advice given to me, but I follow it. I don't like God's advice. I'm supposed to love my enemy. I want to punch him in the nose. I'll be honest with you. It goes against my human nature to love somebody that hates my insides. But guess what? I've learned how to love people that hate my guts. Can I tell you something? I'm glad I listened to godly advice. God will give sight, wisdom, and clarity to someone else when you can't see. I'm going to make a statement. You will only be as successful as the counsel you follow. I was a freshman in Bible college. There's a dear old saint of God. Josh, you'll remember this man. You didn't have him in college, but you know who it is. A man named Dr. Carl Laurent. Dr. Laurent was one of the wisest old Bible teachers I'd ever seen. His health was bad. He was losing his eyesight. Dr. Laurent said, "Brother Bush, what you doing this weekend?" I said, "My Bible club, my bus route." He said, "If I got permission from the college for you to drive me, would you drive me to Michigan to preach, and you'll stay in a hotel room with me? I'll preach, and then you can drive me home." He said, "Do you think your parents would allow you to do that?" I called home, got permission from my parents. They left word with the college. College gave permission. And I put Dr. Laurent in front end of that 1980 Ford Escort. I drove him to Michigan to preach. Stayed in a little old motel, you know, one of those one floor motels with external, you know, rent by the hour kind of place almost. I mean, cruddy old motel. We were halfway between the college in Indiana or in Michigan. Dr. Laurent and I were talking. Well, he was talking, I was listening. He said, "Brother Craig," he said, "do you think God gives the right answer to a godly counselor?" So, yes, Dr. Laurent, I believe God would give the right answer to a godly counselor if I needed help. With all the wisdom of a seasoned man of God, he grabbed a hold of my shoulder with one hand. He grabbed his cheeks like this and he said, "I guess that means you never have to make a wrong decision if you'll seek counsel for everything." Whew. You know, nowhere to run the car off the road safe, you know. That was 35 years ago. He said, "Young man, you never have to make a bad decision if you'll seek counsel for everything. Because if you're seeking counsel from the man of God and the man of God is right with God, he'll give you what God has for you. You never have to make a bad decision." Whew. He rocked my world. I found out I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. You will only be as successful as the counsel you follow. I didn't say you'll only be as successful as the counsel you get. You'll only be as successful as the counsel you follow. God will give the right answer to a wise counselor, so you never have to make a bad decision. That means financially. Can I help you with something? If you're living month to month and you're getting more credit cards to pay off the credit cards that you have because you don't know how to control your money, come see somebody and let me help you. "Well, I got it under control." Right. That's why you got 8 or 9 credit cards maxed out and don't know how to pay all the interest on it. "Well, I got this under control." No, you don't. I've helped 3 people in the last 2 weeks on debt, helping getting them out of debt. And the process is not as hard as you think it is. And it's opposite of what most people think it is. The answer isn't more work. The answer is less spending and paying off what you do have. Some of you have spent more money than you have hours of your life to live to work. I'm not talking about your car or your house, but if you have more than about $10,000 in credit card debt, you don't have control. And probably if you have more than $5,000 debt, you don't have control. Preacher, you have a credit card. All of my debt's paid off. I use one credit card. It's the only one I have. It's a Cabela's card. Say why? Because my wife and I use this so that I can buy all my hunting stuff for free because I get points for it. So most everything I get for hunting, I get for free or vastly reduced. You say, what do you do? I pay all my bills with it every month. We write one check and pay it all off. No balance, no interest. Every month. You see, I don't let it control me. I control it. Everybody doing okay? I can help you get to that point. But I'm talking about life. There are people, you make the same mistake and blame everybody else for your problems the way you live. Okay, if you've been married and divorced 12 times, quit blaming women. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't know anybody been married that many times, all right? So I chose that number. I'm not saying people don't make mistakes in their life. And if you've been divorced, that doesn't mean you're trash around here.
That's right.
There's only two things you can't do. You can't pastor this church and can't be a deacon of this church. Past that, everything else is open scripturally, just so you know. And you're just as important as anybody else in this church. You say, preacher, yeah, you're welcome here. Don't worry about it. But, you know, when you're on your 13th one and you're blaming that one, maybe you ought to look in the mirror and look at the real problem. You know, if you keep having the same health problem over and over and over again, maybe you ought to get some advice and let somebody help you.
Amen.
Same is true in business. If you're having the same problem with your business over and over and over and over again, maybe you ought to seek some advice. I thank God we've got several men in our church on a fairly regular basis. They call me for business advice. Not because I know everything, but I happen to know a good bit about business. I am not the wisest businessman in the world, probably, but I've done a heap of it. In our ministry, I know you won't believe this. Let's see. I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 million I've helped oversee. That's a quarter of a billion. That's more than most of your bankers. I've happened to see a little bit of money come through the ministries that I've worked with and help oversee them. We've got about a third of $1 million of budget here at the church every year. That's one of the smallest budgets I've overseen. I happen to know a little bit about business. Everybody doing okay? So maybe we ought to get good counsel. Number two. All that to get you to the point where you listen to point number two. Number one, have good counsel. Number two, let your reins instruct you. How many of you know what reins are? I'm not talking about Rudolph. Okay? Reins are the straps that come from the bridle of a horse all the way back that the rider would hold on to. That's what you guide the horse with. All right? The reins are that which goes from the bridle of the horse out here in its mouth. Sometimes, if it's an ornery horse, you got a bit in their mouth. All right. Sometimes you can just tack them on, but a lot of times there's a bit in the mouth, and those reins go over the head of the horse. When you sit in the saddle or on the back of that horse, that loop of leather that you put in your hands, those are the reins. Now watch this. God says, verse number 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. He didn't say, my eyes instruct me and I go where I want to go. When you can't see whoever's holding the reins, you need to listen to what they're saying. In other words, whoever's holding the reins in your life is guiding you when you can't see. Brother Josh, can I borrow you for a minute? You're not going to be a mule, all right? But you're going to be ugly as a mule. Now, wait a minute. Here's a young man, successful, hardworking, knows how to pretty well live life, but he's walking through life, walk slowly, and he hits a patch where it's dark. Now watch this. If he's got someone who's wise, as he starts going the wrong direction, I can guide him and keep him away from hurting himself. If he starts going the other way, I can kind of keep guiding him around the problems in life. Here's the problem. He's on a crash course with the pulpit, but if he doesn't listen to me, he's going to hit it because he won't listen to me, and he's going to crash. You have to let the reins instruct you. Have a seat, Brother Josh. Let me ask you a question. Who's holding the reins in your life, you or God? Who's holding the reins in your life financially, you? Is that why you keep crashing? How about you give the reins over to somebody that knows how to handle it? Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Now, you're not going to like the next two passages of Scripture. Turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, and I'm going to teach you something here that you need. I don't like it, you don't like it, but such is life. Psalm 39, verse number 1, the Bible says, I said I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my, what's the next word? Tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Do you remember what I said that the reins attached to? The bridle or the bit in the mouth. Turn to James. Chapter 3, all the way almost towards the end of the Bible. Go to Revelation. It's right after Hebrews, right before Revelation, just a little bit. James chapter 3. Now, this one's going to sting. Not stink, sting. All right? It may stink for some. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same also is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, and they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Listen to this statement. Our mouth is where our bridle attaches. We can ignore the reins due to our big fat mouth. Some of us talk ourselves out of listening to the rider who can see in the dark seasons, and you keep saying, well, I know the way. I've been this way before. I've done it before. I'm not going to fall off. And you refuse because of your tongue, the reins, and you fight the person who's trying to help you. In the night seasons, we need to quit talking and quit doing our way and listen to godly counsel and let God or wise people have the reins in our lives. We talk ourselves into destruction because we think we've got it under control. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That the reins of your life are attached to your tongue. Are you going to let God control it, or are you going to let yourself control it? I love watching horses run. I don't gamble, but every year I try to watch the Kentucky Derby just because I love watching those horses run. Man, I love watching those horses just, and you'll hear jockeys talk about a certain horse. They had to keep them tight. They'll hold them back. But all of a sudden they'll say, we'll give them the reins. Say, when is that? Right as they turn that last corner. We'll let that horse just take off. We'll just kind of loosen up the reins and let that horse do what it's made to do. But there's other horses you can't do that with. Because there's other horses, if you give them the reins, you let them have their own way, they'll crash into somebody else. My sister-in-law had a horse one time named Peak. Just watch my dad's reaction. I hated that horse. Peak was the meanest, nastiest old horse you've ever met. I mean, just my sister-in-law had I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars of surgery because that horse kicked her on purpose. Peak was mean. Peak's the one that I put a saddle on that thing one day, and Peak would suck air and blow its stomach out, and you'd cinch that saddle strap, put it on there, and you'd get on his back, and he'd go, yeah. He'd go out of that barn like a rocket, and you're sitting on the side of that horse going, and I knew enough about Peak, I said, put that cutter bit in its mouth. I grabbed a cutter bit. You say, what's that? That's for horses that don't want to listen. And every time you jerk back on that thing, it starts pinching the sides of their mouth. And well, Peak sucked air. We got out of there, and that thing wouldn't listen to me. It wouldn't hoe. And the saddle's going this way while we're going out. I finally grabbed a hold of those reins, and I gave it everything I had. Okay, the horse stopped. There's blood squirting. And this is the horse's nose, and I'm on the side of the horse. And I said, if you so much as breathe, I'm going to kill you. I said, don't you move. I got myself out of that saddle without falling on the ground. I walked that horse back to the barn. I strapped him in on both sides. And I put that saddle back up, and I kicked that horse in the ribs with my foot and said, don't you breathe. I cinched that thing one strap farther than it was supposed to go. I walked around the front end of that horse, Brother Jimbo, and I grabbed that horse by the lips and twisted. And I pulled him down into my face and said, you're going to listen to me. You may do that to somebody else, but you're not doing that to me again. Got it? You're going to listen to me. I don't know if that horse understood English or not, but I felt better about it. I let go of that horse's lips. I undid him. I got back up on that horse. Did you know he was as tame as a little puppy dog after that, Brother Mike? He just needed to know who was boss. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to get back on that horse. I didn't let him know that. Can I tell you something? That horse, you had to keep tight reins on him. You let him have his head, he's going to have your head. You let him have the reins, you're going on a ride you don't want to go on. God says that our tongue, if we're not careful, will fight the reins and we'll push through and do what we want in spite of what the rider holding the reins wants us to do. How many times have you talked yourself into destruction? How many times have we talked ourselves into problems because we did not let the Holy Spirit control our reins? And it's in the night seasons we need to shut our mouth, quit doing it our way, get good counsel and follow it. Say, I don't understand. Doesn't matter if you understand. Just keep going. Amen. Listen to what's said. Let somebody else have the reins. Let someone who knows the way show you the way. Let someone who's been down that path in the darkness that knows it like the back of his hand. His name is the Holy Spirit. Let somebody else have the reins in your life. Don't run your mouth so much that others refuse to go get help. There are times that somebody needs help and they'll say, I think I'm going to go see the preacher. And I've heard people say, oh, you don't need to go see him. He's too busy. I can help you. Folks, don't get your help from people like that. The preacher's never too busy for you. He'll help you. Don't listen to somebody that's wandering in the darkness themselves. Young people, getting your advice from somebody your age is pretty stupid. I watch a 17, 18-year-old. I'm going to get my advice from my friend. They haven't run a hot dog stand yet, and you're going to get life's advice from somebody that doesn't even know which end's up yet? Hang on. There comes a time when you need to understand you can't see your own way in the darkness. I've got to hurry. Number three. But the one who's holding the reins is the one who'll keep you on course. The one who is holding the reins is the one that'll keep you on course. Look at verse number 8. Psalm 16, verse number 8 does not say what most people says it says. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. That doesn't mean you lock yourself in place and wait for the daylight to come. Say, what does I shall not be moved mean? That means you place those reins in the master's hands. And even though you can't see the way, you hear him say, giddy up, I'll keep you on course. I shall not move you off the course. We're going to stay right on line here. If you'll trust me, I'll keep you on course. I won't move you to the right or to the left off the course. I'll not move you off the way. You just follow my lead. But if you follow your lead, you're going to be moved off course. Can I tell you something? You can trust the reins of the Word of God. You can trust the reins of the Holy Spirit of God. May I say this? Let God steer you when you're going through the dark times. Why do we want to get advice from a lost sinner about how to run our life? Don't get mad at me. You don't need to go see the psychologist. You need to see the man of God. Amen. You don't need more pills. You need the Word of God. Amen. If the man of God thinks you need something else, he'll let you know. Don't worry. I'm not saying if you're taking a pill, quit taking it. There are people that need medication. I get that. I understand it. And that's why it's there. Everybody doing okay? But why are we going to let some humanist tell us what we're supposed to do as Christians? Why are we going to allow somebody that doesn't even believe in God, who believes in man over God, tell a Christian how to be in life? That makes zero sense. I've got little to zero respect for any preacher that sends his people to a psychologist to get their advice. Psychology is man studying man. How about bibliology and be a man of God? Know God well enough to where God will give you the wisdom to help your people. Amen. Well, they need professional advice. No, they need the pastor to resign and make an honest living. What do you think I am? Some nincompoop? I've given 40 years of my life to studying man and studying God, helping man. I think I know how to help people in life. Everybody doing all right? They have emotional issues. Yeah, they need to get saved and get right with God. Well, they have dependencies. They have this ism and that ism. Yeah, they have unbelievism. They have faithless isms. They have an unBible ism. I don't care what fancy name you put on it. We can take it to the Word of God and fix it. You don't have to see in the dark. You just have to trust the one who's holding the reins can see. Bless God, Brother Josh, when the dark times come, you don't have to see. You just need to see the one who can see. Just give him the reins. You see, here's the problem. You want to play God. And you want to see the whole path before you go down it. I'm here to tell you, in life, you don't see the whole path. There's not a person in this room in their late 20s to where your life has turned out exactly the way you thought it was going to turn out. Not a one of you. I know that's true if you're over the age of 30. And if you're my age or older, you're looking back and saying, what was I thinking when I was 20? Sure wasn't where I thought I'd be. Can I have a witness? You see, we want to see the whole path. It doesn't work that way. Because if it did, you wouldn't go down the path at all. You'd just quit living. Don't let fear take you off course. Don't let uncertainty take you off course. Don't let your limited vision take you off course. Trust the rider who holds the reins even when you cannot see. I must quit. Dark seasons of cancer will come. Dark seasons of long-term sickness will come. Dark seasons of old age and inability will come. Dark seasons of death will come. Dark seasons of losing a child may come. Dark seasons of finances will come. Dark seasons of tensions in relationships will come. Dark seasons at work or business will come. And the dark seasons of life will come. But thank God, Brother Steve, we don't have to face the darkness of hell for eternity. We never have to die and go to hell. God made it to where we'd never see the darkness ever again when we get to heaven. God is the light. Jesus is the light of heaven. And heaven will be lighted for eternity and we'll never have a dark season ever again. But you have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior to not see the dark season. I get weary sometimes. I get weary of the word cancer. I get weary of every 7 days of my life, I get word of somebody dying. But guess what? They may close their eyes here, but if they're saved, they're not in the dark. They're in the light. Our sorrow is not for them, it's for us. It's selfish. We don't want to say goodbye. Man, why would we want to hold them back here for this mess? I guess I've seen enough death. Every time somebody passes away, I look at them and say, you lucky dog, you. Now, I'm not ready to take the next trip, trust me. But they're the lucky ones, not us. Why should I cry? Hey, do me a favor. When I die, don't cry for me. And I'm going to be playing tag with the angels. I'm going to be running up and down streets of gold with no pain. Amen, Brother Mike? I'm going to look into the face of my Savior. I'm going to get to see the blood that was shed. It's on the mercy seat in heaven. And I'm going to be having the time of eternity. Don't you dare ask for me to come back. I'll slap you upside both sides of your head. I'll have no desire to come back. I'll just get things ready for you so when you come. But may I say this, let's not get so bummed out when those night seasons come. How about we turn the reins over and shut our mouth and just follow what he says? Because that's what will get you through the night season. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I truly want to help you. Maybe it's the night season of divorce or separated parents. Maybe it's the night season of whatever is in your life. I may say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Virtually every hand, you may put them down. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, make today the day. Come forward, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you ought to come to this, if you raised your hand, you ought to come to this old-fashioned altar and kneel. Give the reins over to God. Maybe somebody needs to make some decisions in their life to fix some things in their life. Maybe you just need to turn the reins over. Hey, man, it's not a threat to your manhood to give somebody the reins that can see the way you can't. You'll prove yourself a better man because of it.